Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Northern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
Man, just a crusher last night for the Denver Nuggets. I thought they had it. I thought that they were going to pull this one off. I was going to throw it in everybody's face around here. I think Brady actually said they were going to win too. So everybody but Brady. But the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry roll on. They get the win last night over the Denver Nuggets. The best takeaway that I've got for this program from that game is afterwards when Nikola Jokic says he'll sign the Supermax if offer is on the table. Yeah, that offer is going to be on the table for the potential two-time MVP. Here's how the show lines up today. We're only going until about 10:25 this morning. The Colorado Rockies game pregame show gets going at 10:25. Jerry Schimmel and Jack Corrigan with KOA. I will be talking with Jerry Schimmel starting at 10:05 this morning. So we'll talk with Jerry then. Brady will jump into the studio as well. We'll also talk with Miles Bloomhart at 9:35. But joining me now in the Allo Communications studios, it is Taylor Myers with Taylor Made Legal Services. Taylor, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Havila will be joining us here shortly. She had another meeting run late this morning. So that brings us to Ask a Lawyer. Mike, can we go ahead and play that?
The information, comments, and links provided on this segment do not constitute legal advice. No attorney-client relationship has been or will be formed by any communications to, from, or with the listener and attorneys. For legal advice, contact an attorney actively practicing in your jurisdiction. Do not send any confidential or privileged information to the attorneys or radio show, nor shall the attorneys, radio show, or associated employees assume any liability or responsibility for it. Also, no such information, documents, or materials will be returned to you. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken based on the contents of this segment are hereby expressly disclaimed. Visit the KFK website for the full legal disclaimer.
All right, Taylor. Well, we're going to talk about how to pick a lawyer coming up a little bit later on. But what I want to talk with you about, you shared an article last week and a video about not talking to the cops. That was your, not only that's Havila's little shtick, but you wanted to put a reminder out there as well. So walk us through what this was all about.
Sure. I feel weird talking about it even without having
to
hear
it. I know, right? She'll be here. As soon as we say don't talk to the cops, it like summons her, I'm sure.
Right, yeah. No, so actually someone, another defense attorney sent this to me recently. Now I forget his name, but a late night show host did a segment about not talking to the cops. And the reason for that is there's just been so many people statistics coming out about the way cops interrogate people comes to basically false confessions.
Right. No, because there's a specific practice, right, that they cited in this too. And Havila's joining us now in the studio, but there's a practice that they talk about that they said was outdated at this point. Havila, to catch you up, we're talking about not talking to the cops, which is perfect for you. That's what I mean. I said that kind of summons you. As soon as somebody says that, you just kind of show up. It's like your bat signal.
It is my bat signal. That's pretty funny.
thanks for being here. So, but you were talking about coming to false confessions from people, mm-hmm. and a lot of that is from the strategy, right, that the cops have installed. I can't think of the system. Can you, or the training that the law enforcement uses?
It's the Reed technique that's under a lot of criticism.
And this was one put in like in the 60s, is that right? Or something like this? Something around that date?
I believe it was around that time, and it's widely trained amongst law enforcement.
So what are the new findings? How are we finding out just now? I mean, something that was been used for so long that this is potentially getting us to false confessions.
I don't think we're finding out just now. I think people are finally listening.
Oh, okay. So you think this is something that's been out, I mean, for a while?
Yes. And I think a lot to do is also, it was John Oliver, he pointed out, but it's the media now just having the information about statistics of you know, confessions and also, you know, all these crime docuseries, whether you love them or not. I mean, a lot of them you watch and people are realizing, oh, watching some of those confessions and those, they're coerced and they're like, how can cops do that? And so it's just, I think now because of that coming to light.
Yeah, well, and I think even with more of those docuseries out, I think people are a little bit more well-informed on the subject and knowing kind of what's, which sounds crazy, so because not all of those are real, so don't take everything you see on one of those shows as the God's honest truth, but it's actually a pretty good point that there people might be more well-informed because we have so many different cop shows and documentaries out there. Would you say that, Havila?
I think it's tough because what John Oliver was highlighting is that confessions are very powerful evidence. And so your jury panel isn't normally going to sit there and criticize whether the confession was properly obtained or not. So, yes, I think it's good that people are more aware, but the practical impact of that may be minimal.
So if you're defending somebody and you feel like the information of the confession was coerced out of them, what is the likelihood of proving that?
You first file a motion to suppress the confession, and you have a hearing with the judge. And so you would present evidence showing that you believe that the confession was coerced. That is a pretty high hurdle, though.
Yeah.
Most of the time, the judges are not going to consider it coerced unless you see some type of physical violence or restraint or maybe hours and hours and hours of being deprived food or drink or the bathroom. So those are the types of things that judges are looking for, even though this information is coming out. Once you've gotten past that point where the judge says, nope, the confession is coming in, you can kind of present a case to a jury saying it's not a good confession and they should disregard it. But again, it's so powerful that your ability to undermine it is limited.
When presenting a confession to the jury, it's in full, right? They can't just pick and choose and say, let's take this a little out of context. Like, let's take this a little out of context. Does the confession have to be presented in full to the jury?
It doesn't have to be, but, you know, that's your kind of your job as a defense attorney is to present that to them. And one of the issues that I think he raised really well that should be, you know, we should push for as a law is the cops don't have to record the entire part of during the confession. And they can just, you know, do the last part. And the jury, I think, if we can push this to becoming a law, the jury doesn't see the 14 hours of them not giving them water, not letting them go to the bathroom. They just see the one part where then the prosecution gets to come up and say, well, this is the whole recording. You've seen it in full. Well, yeah, but that's because the cops didn't record all of it.
So, yeah, well, and I think it's interesting because after obviously we've talked a lot about the George Floyd incident, which, yeah, we'll get into that another time with Derek Chauvin now again. But there's more information coming out about how cops handle things. The prone restraint, right? That is something that is now, you know, Chris Vanderveen, who's the director of special projects and Nine News that I talk to every single week, he's nominated for a Peabody Award because of his work on this, because it's stuff that, you know, we didn't really pay attention to until we said enough is enough. But there's a lot of cop techniques that are under scrutiny right now.
I guess that's true. I'm mindful of the fact, though, that it's always important for us to better ourselves, but in hindsight's 2020, but sometimes you don't want a Monday morning quarterback everything that's going on. And so for me, it's kind of a fine line between, okay, these techniques shouldn't be used and law enforcement needs better training, and defending my client because the technique that was used in their case shouldn't have been used. I think it's too easy to jump on the bandwagon and say, all law enforcement is bad or all law enforcement is good. And we need to be very careful about that.
No, I think that's very well said. And that's absolutely the truth. And I've said it from the beginning of all of this. The answer isn't to take money away. The answer is to put more money in to train the cops better. But that's just my opinion on that. Any final thoughts from this John Oliver piece from you, Taylor?
I think along those same lines of it's easy to have broad strokes, I think a lot of people need to remember along the lines of don't talk to the cops. Don't have such harsh judgment on people that, you know, maybe have those confessions and say, oh, I would never do that. What an idiot, because they, you know, just a lot of people, when they get scared and when they're taken in by the cops, you don't know what it's like. So just to keep that in mind as well.
All right. Any final thoughts on the John Oliver?
I mean, I think that's a fair point. I've been in a position where I've been in an interrogation room with my client, and even though I'm very aware of what's going on, you feel the pressure. And so it's a very different experience that if you haven't lived through it, you don't know. So I think that's a fair point on Taylor's part, which is part of the reason why we say don't ever get to that position in the first place, because it is harder to say no.
Well, and that's what we're going to talk about when we come back on the other side, is how to pick an attorney. Something has happened and now you've got to get an attorney hired. How do you go about it? Well, obviously call one of these two fine ladies, but we're going to discuss the proper channels next. It's NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Ask a Lawyer rolls on next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK. Welcome back into the Allo Communications Studios. I'm Tanner Schwint. Thanks for being with us. Ask a Lawyer rolls on. We come back on and both of the lawyers jump on their phones. That's what you did as soon as we came back in. Both of you just like, oh, let's text. Cool.
No, that's not what's happening at all.
And well, she just keeps slamming her phone.
If you want me to call out every time you're on the phone.
Reading the text that people are texting in.
Okay.
Not true at all. But let's dive into this. So we're going to talk about how to choose a lawyer here. And I think this is kind of fascinating. And if you both just put out your information and say, that's the best way to do it, I am going to never do this segment again. I don't think that's what you're going to do here. So who wants to start on this one? Who wants to this one? You want to take this one?
I'll start. I think I brought it up a couple weeks ago because I have a lot of people I know who reach out to me who are either my clients or friends or whatever who need attorneys but not in my field of work, or I'm so close to people maybe in my field that they're like, I won't represent them. So they ask, who do you recommend? And a lot of times they're like, well, how do I choose? And I think, at least for me, the number one thing, and you can agree or disagree or whatever, it's probably not good marketing, is to when you're researching attorneys, is to at least talk to three or a few, because it's like you're going to be with this person for a really long time, you know, depending what type of law it is. And it's not like you're just going to talk to them, go to court, and that's it. You're going to be having an ongoing relationship with them. And so you want to make sure it's the right fit, and you want to make sure through research and, you know, referrals that it's the right one.
Well, let's address the elephant in the room. Well, a lot of the deciding factor on who's going to represent somebody is the almighty dollar. I mean, that's where a lot of people can say, okay, what can I afford? Who can I afford? And stuff like that. What's the best way of gauging different rates from people? Is it just calling every different lawyer in town?
Is calling different lawyers, asking for their rates on your, you know, your particular case, but also the interesting thing is, you know, people can give certain rates, and you should know what – you start to get a feel for what questions you should ask them. But if one attorney is way far out of what is in a range that other attorneys are giving you, that's a pretty good indicator either one it's a pretty good indicator that they probably don't know a lot what they're doing or what's normal in the industry. I shouldn't say know what they're doing. Some of them do. Some of them are just, you know –
right. No, but they're newer. Absolutely.
So you can get a really good feel for calling and asking for what those rates are. And I think you'll get to know pretty quickly.
Is Is the price that a lawyer charges a good indicator for how good of a lawyer it is? Or is it the, because I think that there's been some lawyers who have gotten so much publicity or won a big case or something like that, and the publicity made them be able to up their rates and stuff like that. People who market all, I mean, the one that I think of, and just throwing it out there, everybody, is the Sawaya Law Firm. I mean, you see them literally everywhere. The marketing dollars, does that factor in, or is it normally a pretty good indication of the higher the rates, the better the lawyer?
I think lawyers want you to believe that.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, that's what every business is about appearances, right? And if you appear right, like you're the top of the line Louis Vuitton suit, which I've learned is now, I say that with confidence that there is Louis Vuitton suits, but appearance is a lot of it. But at the end of the day, is that something that you can trust?
No.
Can't trust lawyers, not, can you?
Well, yeah. I mean, the best lawyer is what? The one at the bottom of the sea? I mean, isn't that what it is? So, look, here's the thing that I do with people who are consulting with me. If they're really struggling financially, especially with a criminal defense case, I always refer them to the public defender and have them apply, because that is, if they qualify, a free lawyer that they can have represent them on their case. Sometimes if I need to, I'll refer them out to some other attorneys that I know that have maybe different rates. It all depends, but I do think it's smart for everybody to at least talk to a handful of lawyers. I encourage people to do that when they talk with me, and really you're looking for a good fit. Is this attorney somebody that I think gets me, gets my case, is going to represent me well? And the attorney is going to be kind of doing the same thing. Is this the type of client that I want or not? And sometimes
there's some knockdown dragouts between clients and their representatives, right? I mean, it's not always a smooth relationship when it comes to the lawyer-client relationships.
No.
We've talked about that on this program.
I've gotten into some heated arguments with some clients. It's not always smooth.
Yeah. And that's why that goes back to that relationship side that you were talking about. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but the point popped into my head, so I thought I'd say it.
Well, I think you should be careful for understanding your own echo chamber and your own confirmation bias. You probably don't want a lawyer that's just going to tell you everything you want to hear. You need somebody who's going to be able to say, yeah, things are not looking good for you right now. And here's what I can and can't do. And I can't guarantee your outcome, but here's what I think. And you're probably going to want somebody like that more than the person that goes, oh, yeah, no, I mean, this is ridiculous. I'll get this dropped.
We're in the middle of the Ask a Lawyer segment. If you've got questions, text them in to 888-530-0043. The hotline's open as well, 970-353-1310. Is it sometimes difficult to collect from some of the clients?
Yes.
I mean, I would imagine so. Are there payment plans with lawyers, or is that possible? I mean, I'm not talking directly with you guys. I'm just saying, is that out there in the field?
No, yeah, absolutely. And we all do it depending a little bit differently, but I know I take payment plans. I'm pretty sure Havila does as well. You know, we all, there's a lot of different types of pay arrangements. So like I take sliding scale, certain things, but I have a lot of people, same as Havila, call, well, can you do my case for free? Because I have a public defender and I'm not happy with them. Well, no, because that indicates to me though, also like, you know, just because the public defender isn't getting back to you that exact same day, that you're probably unhappy with them. The other part of it that doesn't necessarily have to do with pay is, I, for example, I have a family friend recently looking for an attorney for Fort Collins, and she called to a Denver attorney because she's like, oh, you know, I'm going to say kind of the Sawoya thing,
right,
you know,
yeah.
I hear this, you know, attorney. And it was double the rate. Okay, you know, here's the thing. I'm not saying they're a bad attorney at all. You have to take into like consideration they're going to be driving, but they're also going to be charging Denver prices, and they don't know the judges. They don't. So
hiring local is what you're saying is a good thing.
I think so. Usually, I mean, obviously, if you live in the middle of nowhere, sometimes that isn't an option. But yeah,
why do lawyers go pro bono? Is it just for the publicity in the case? I mean, is that normally when you see it the most of when they don't charge for defending a case?
it can be one of the reasons. Sometimes you look at somebody's particular situation and you know the other attorneys in the area and you go, you know, this is a person that I think needs help, and it makes sense for me to give them my services for free. So I think that's just a judgment call for every attorney.
Yeah, and obviously it can be like just a case that hits near and dear to your heart too, right? I mean, if that's something where you're just really moved by something, you're like, okay, this person does need this.
Yeah, I tend to take cases for free when I have what I consider a true victim of domestic violence. So in those situations, I'll usually do a victim representation for them, or sometimes I dabble in divorce, but that's not my specialty for people who I'm like, yeah, this person really needs help.
Right. Well, and it's just interesting. I mean, there was a professor down at CU who was not getting the vaccine, and I'm not getting into the politics here, but wasn't going to get the vaccine. They terminated her on the spot, and this big attorney out of somewhere back east came flying in and took the case for free and actually won the case. I mean, that she had proven on religious grounds that she didn't have to get the vaccine. And I did an interview with him and he was like, oh, I did it all pro bono and stuff like that. So you do see the publicity side of it factor in at times, right?
Well, I would tell you that here locally, we saw a lot of attorneys come out of the woodwork and accept cases for free under the red flag law. A lot of people felt really passionate about that and started taking up some of those cases. Because believe it or not, even though Sheriff Reams isn't moving forward under the red flag law, he's not the only agency in Weld County. And so there are still people that need that representation. So yes, you can use it for publicity. That is one factor to consider. Another one is because maybe you really do think that this law is unconstitutional, it's near and dear to you, and you're like, this is an issue I want to take up, so I'll take your case for free.
Yeah, well, lawyers aren't afraid to bang their chest when they do take most lawyers aren't afraid to bang their chest when they do take a case for free, because, you know, the best lawyer is the one at the bottom of the sea, as Havila said earlier. Ladies, any final thoughts from either of you two? I know our time went by in a hurry here, but any final thoughts? Taylor, we'll start with you. If not, throw out your contact information.
Sure. So I guess the final thought is, if you have any questions about, you know, hiring an attorney, I think that just kind of grazes the surface of like what to look for maybe in an attorney. So to text in and we can keep answering questions on that. Otherwise, you can give me a call for a free consultation, 970-939-8366.
And you have something coming up on May 12th at the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I do.
Beryl was in yesterday and said, make sure Taylor says this, and you didn't. So I'm gonna bail you out here.
Thank you. So the Boys and Girls Club is doing kind of a women's fashion event on May 12th.
What's it called?
It's
the fabulous,
yes, fabulous frugal fashion. Yeah. Anyway, I can get more details next week, but look at the Boys and Girls Club website. But I have been collecting a lot of clothes, a lot of just even new, really nice designer clothes. And that day you can go to this event. There's going to be wine, food, things like that. And when you buy those clothes, the money is going directly to the Boys and Girls Club of Weld County.
They asked me to be a model on it, and I graciously turned them down. check that out at the Boys and Girls Club website as well. Havila.
You can find me at brunolilylegal.com and call me for a free consult for criminal defense cases only. If you call for a different type of case, you will get a referral out, 720-340-1373, and don't talk to the cops.
And get some emergency in you. That is Havila and Taylor. Ladies, thank you so much. We'll be earlier next week. Are we ready to go?
No.
8:30. It's only by 30 minutes.
We've been doing this for 4 months, and it's gotten earlier and earlier. We're going to be here at 6 a.m. sometime.
No, because I won't be. But we'll see you guys next week at 8:30.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks. We got Miles Blumhart when we come back. But first, the bottom of the hour, news and weather center. NFL draft night tonight. I'll be out at Crazy Carl's Pizza with Brady Hull, as we'll be on air from 6 to 10 tonight. Brady's going to do most of the heavy lifting, but I'll be out there. Come by and say hello. Will Trey McBride go in the first round tonight? Joining us now up on the hotline, our CRP 4x4 VIP guest, Miles Blumhart with the Coloradoan. Miles, first and foremost, are you going to come and have some pizza and beer with us tonight?
Let's see. No, I won't. It's not because I can't. I won't be around tonight. Otherwise, I would join you. What is your part of the show if Brady's going to do most of the big polling there?
Well, it's sitting there next to him with pizza and beer.
You're smart, aren't you?
I leave the heavy lifting to Brady. I'll just sit out there and be like, oh, that's who they drafted. That's pretty
polling.
Much my role.
I said pulling, but I meant lifting.
Yeah. No, that's all good.
So what do you think about McBride? I mean, second or third round?
I think he's second. I think he goes in the second round. I don't know. Brady kind of thinks that he's going to go in the first round still. I don't see him going in the first round. I think that as we get closer, the narrative's kind of changed a little bit to focus more on the fact that he had one touchdown last year. And I think anybody who looks at it should know that that is squarely on the shoulders of Steve Adazio for why that is. I think he's a second round talent. What do you think, Miles?
Yeah, that's poor scheming. That's, you know, I don't care if he's triple teamed. he's getting more touchdowns than one. So I think his 40 time helped him. I think somebody's going to get a really good player. And I just, because his work ethic is, I mean, you know, yeah, and I think he's got to get better in and out of breaks, but I think he battles for the ball well, which they love in the NFL, right? And he can block. So it probably comes down to need, you know, like a high need for somebody. I think second or third round is probably where he's going to end up.
I agree. What are the chances that the Broncos do take him if he's there in the second round? What do you think?
Well, I think the Broncos have a pretty good roster, and obviously Fant's gone, so that would be a great spot. I mean, you know, I have no idea what the Broncos are thinking, but the Broncos could probably use a linebacker, right?
Yeah.
They could use
a
tight end.
Yeah.
They could use it. They could use a right tackle, right? So, usually though, the linemen, you know, once you get to a right tackle position, unless the guy's really good and still up there, you can take him. But, you know, really, I mean, they need a tight end, don't they?
They do. I mean, they've got Albert O, but they need somebody in conjunction with that. And that is the one thing I think we've talked about, Miles. The one thing that Steve Adazio did do for Trey McBride is show the NFL that this guy can block.
I think, and that's where I think the Broncos may want to pick him, because Albert O isn't exactly like a great blocking tight end. I think he's a more of a dynamic tight end catching, you know, pass catching, but every NFL team almost has a catching tight end and more of a blocking tight end, and the Broncos are in need of that.
Well, I would love to see another local guy on the Broncos team. I mean, you'd have Wiggins and Fort Morgan represented.
Yeah, and two large communities at that, right? I mean, it's kind of like Eaton.
Yeah.
Look at what Eaton has. So, hey, great for these small farming towns. I love that.
Yeah, I do. I do too. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think there's going to be some wild trades. I mean, you know, I'm starting to hear maybe possibly the Jets are going to trade their pick for Deebo Samuel. The NFL draft's going to be wild tonight.
I think so too. I think there's going to be a lot of trading. And I'll tell you what, Deebo is one heck of a player, right? I mean, he is really good. And I think, I think the Niners can trade him too, because, you know, they have some other players in a similar role. So I think there's going to be a lot of trading up and down tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The other guys out there that you maybe look at, Scott Patchen, I don't think Ryan Stonehouse will get drafted, but I think he'll end up on a roster somewhere. But do you think Scott Patchen gets drafted?
Sixth or seventh at best. I think he's going to get in a camp. I don't know that he's going to get drafted. He's got a good body size, so that will help. Yeah, I'd say very late at the best. And at that point, it may almost be better to be able to pick your team.
Yeah,
as an undrafted,
I agree with you. I mean, go find the right fit for you and go from there. But nonetheless, I think we kind of had this conversation last week too. I think a lot of people want Trey to go in the first round for promotional side of things for CSU, but I'd prefer to have him slip into the second and let Denver grab him with one of their picks in the second round and go from there and let him go win a Super Bowl, and then you can promote that you've got. You've got a Super Bowl champ coming out of CSU,
but there is a huge monetary advantage to going in the first round.
Very true. Very true.
And for Trey, that's why I hope he would get in the first round, because again, it's huge. But he's going to make money because he's probably going to have a 10-year career. I really think he will.
Yeah, now I agree with you. I agree. I mean, he's just got the build for it. So I'm excited to see what happens. Hopefully he doesn't end up on, in a franchise to go and waste away, because we've seen that before. But hopefully he gets drafted by somebody that he's going to have an immediate difference maker on the team, be an immediate difference maker. Talking with Miles Bloomhart this morning. All right, Miles, let's switch gears just a little bit. The North I-25 transportation missing out on some money.
Yeah, they're pretty disappointed that there's what's called a mega fund grant, and it's a competitive grant with all the other states, and CDOT did not select them as one that they're going to move forward. They're going to use it for I-70 and Floyd Hill, and the officials up here are really miffed at that, because what they're saying is they still have a couple segments that they one full segment that they would like to make into three lanes, one being a toll lane, so that you can go all the way from Fort Collins to Denver and not have to go from three lanes to two to three.
Yeah, well, I just, if the money is available, why? I mean, it's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, it's especially frustrating to them, because to expedite this North I-25 Express Lanes project, a lot of the communities, the municipalities and the counties put up a lot of money, to get this going. And so they feel they've done their job, and now they're feeling like maybe that is going against them, that CDOT might be thinking, well, they were so good at it before, they don't need this funding. And so, it's really been a contentious issue with the folks up here.
Yeah, I bet it is. And I think people's stress level, their patience level is wearing thin when it comes to I-25 overall.
Yeah, because already, right? I mean, our project up here started in 2018 and won't be done until next year. And I mean, that's five long years. There's been multiple crashes, because of those concrete barriers so tight and people not paying attention, right? And the interstate there is bumpy. It's caused a lot of problems, but as a project like this will do, it will cause a lot of problems, because it's a tremendous project.
Yeah, it is, and I think everybody agrees that it needed done, but just the frustration level of the way that it's going about is getting to people.
Yeah, and that's because they have to keep the roadway open, right? They have to keep the interstate open, so they have to do it in a way that they have to actually build road for them to be able to have their construction equipment in there and still allow for traffic. And that and building 17 bridges, that takes a lot of time. I feel people's frustration, but and maybe they are slow, but there's a lot of work to be done there.
Talking with Miles Bloomhart with the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Miles, there's no doubt that lately with the wind that I think is scheduled to return tomorrow. I don't know who ordered it, but they need to not order it anymore. But there's been a high fire danger around the state of Colorado, but specifically in Larimer County.
Yeah, so what's happening, right, is unfortunately the weather pattern right now is the jet stream is largely over us, which causes really strong winds. And because it's over us, the storms are going north of us. So up north of us, they're getting good moisture, but it prevents us from getting much. And I was just checking, Fort Collins has had 0.1 inches of rain or precipitation in April, which I think is our second lowest ever. I think we had 0.05 one year and like in 1902. So extremely dry fire restrictions. It's creating the forest has fire restrictions, and so does Larimer County now.
Yeah, and something's got to change. And it's, the weather has just been so weird, Miles. I mean, you've been here in Colorado for quite some time. Normally it's April showers bring May flowers, but we haven't had any of those April showers. I think the April winds are making sure we don't have any flowers at all in May.
Yeah, I'm working on a story on what do you do with your yard now? Do you just
zero scape?
You know, yeah. Do you turn on your sprinkler system and water, knowing that you know we may end up with a shortage and maybe restrictions later this year if things don't turn around. And the other problem is, you know, March, April, May are our money months, and you know March wasn't great. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great. I see snowpack is. I was just looking at that 82% statewide, 88% in our basin, the South Platte Basin. So, and they're starting to get what they call the peak. So from now on, generally, more snow is melting in the mountains than they're getting. So, yeah, not real good.
No, it's kind of a doom and gloom outlook on that for sure, Miles. But there's, you know, not a whole lot that we can do about it except for be conscious and don't start any fires and don't be stupid.
That, and I think, you know, people are going to have to start thinking about self, you know, conservation of water. I mean, I really think you have to look at that, you know. You know, you don't necessarily have to water your bluegrass lawns. They can go dormant. Doesn't look great, but, you know, that's a possibility. And obviously, you know, agriculture uses a lot of water, but so does urban landscapes.
Yeah, well, and, you know, maybe this is my bias, but I think one of those is a little bit more important than the other there, Miles. But I just throwing that out there.
No, and I would agree. I mean, you know, agriculture does use a lot of water, but, you know, you do get a lot of value from it. And I think we can, you know, we're going to have to let our landscapes go some this year. And, Or you have to water more conservatively and smarter, and that's the story I'm working on, is how do you do that? What can you do to reduce your urban landscape watering? And I think that's important this time. It's always important, right? But it's really important this year.
No, we'll be looking forward to that, Miles. Well, we'll see where Trey McBride goes. Thanks so much for jumping on. And, hey, we're going to be talking a little bit earlier next week, Miles. You're coming with me to the morning show, right?
I get up about 5 a.m. and my cohorts at the Colorado and always remind me, please don't text and email me at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the change.
Yeah, by about 5:30, you can text me if that works, okay? Just give me 30 minutes and then I'll be up and ready to roll.
I'll have my two cups of coffee in, and yeah, so we'll be raring to go.
You'll be energetic. I love it, Miles. Well, I can't wait to talk with you next week. Thanks so much for jumping on, my friend.
Have a great day and have fun tonight. I wish I could join you.
Oh, we will. I think Kevin Lytle's Kevin and I got into a little bit of a spat on Twitter last night about Coach Malone. So we're gonna have to go out there and settle it the old-fashioned way, while having beers and yelling at each other.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say for him is I looked at that roster last night. That's not a good roster.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's not. And you know, you can always say, well, if Jamal Murray's back and Porter's back, and you know, I mean, you can say all that, but you know, I mean. Nobody cares if your players are injured, but when you looked at who they had out there last night,
yeah.
I mean, wow, who's scoring for you?
Well, Boogie Cousins, I mean, that was my only argument. I mean, they needed to go big. They should have made that adjustment sooner.
Well, you and Charles Barkley were the same way, because that's what he was saying. And
okay. I don't know if I want to be compared to Charles, though. I don't know how I feel about being...
Oh, I love Charles.
All right,
yeah.
Okay. All right, good thing.
You're outspoken like Charles.
Good. Okay, that'll work. Never mind then. I'll take that as a compliment. Miles, hey, I appreciate it. Thanks so much, my friend. We'll talk with you next week.
All right, have a good day.
Thanks. That's Miles Bloomhart. 9:53 the time. Let's get a break here. We'll be back on the other side. NoCo Now on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Back in the Owl Communications studios, kicking off the farewell tour for Michael Malone.
You're out of your mind.
I don't think his mic is on.
Yeah, I don't think my mic's on.
There
we go. I can. Thanks, Mike.
Michael.
Oh,
Mike.
Right. It's Michael Malone.
Michael. I said Michael Malone.
Did you?
I did.
You're out of your mind, man.
I was told. I think I may have just been a little frustrated last night.
I think you were very frustrated. I'm going to get you a t-shirt that just said, he needs gone.
I would like that. I said that.
That's your new saying.
To be fair, I've been
right. Don't do it. Don't compare Steve Adazio to Michael Malone. Don't do it.
I was right about
that.
Dude,
he took guys that, like, players the equivalent of you, me, and Micah going out there.
No.
You said so yourself. Will Barton?
He needs gone.
Okay. Is Monte Morris better than Jamal Murray?
No.
Oh, you just brought me in for 30 seconds?
You're sticking with me in the hour number two. You don't have a show today, so I want to. It'd be weird if Brady Hole wasn't on the airwaves during the day. Tonight, you got it covered for four
marathon
hours.
Time. Let's go.
Miles asked what my role is. I said, I don't know yet, but I think I'm going to be drinking beer and eating pizza.
Dude, their wings are so good.
I'm on standby. Whatever you need, boss. We'll be back. Hour two. Jerry Schimmel going to join us. Jerry's jumping on right before the Rockies. Got to get one win out of this series. We'll talk about it next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.